First of all, it's just a delight to see you, to be with you. There's way more of you here tonight than I thought there would be, so that's great. It's nice to pray together, isn't it? Very often when we think about the call of the Lord, especially in today's culture and the way that our faith, the Christian thing in general, is framed, we often think of like a hardship, or we think of following Christ as difficult. I was talking recently with one of the graduates from Chesterton, young man who just graduated, who was in my class this year, and he and I were talking about the possibility of him becoming a priest. And he said, "Oh, I could never do that." And I said, "Well, why not?" And he said, "Because." "Because why?" "Well, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it would be the life for me, you know? The harvest is abundant and the laborers are few, and we know that. And sometimes I think we get ourselves into this mindset that, like, the mission of the church, evangelization, teaching the gospel, living out this way, living a life of discipline for the Lord, living in a way that is not just pleasing to him, but according to him, right? That he gives us clear instructions about how to approach people, how to live. And we sometimes get into our little minds that that is just a life for the priests and the nuns, and that's kind of it. But remember that in the very earliest times of the church, certainly in biblical times, and all throughout the tradition, really, it's been holy men and women, lay men and women, who have gone out, been sent out into the world to preach and to teach. It's a great point of the Second Vatican Council. You could say it's the central point. A lot of people think that the council's teaching on the liturgy was the most revolutionary, or its teaching on interreligious dialogue was revolutionary. All that stuff was pretty boring, actually. If you read the documents, it's not as revolutionary as you think. But what is truly new and revolutionary is that for the first time, the Second Vatican Council is an example of the church putting into its magisterial teaching, it's the highest authority of teaching that you get. And the church is saying that the priests exist to sanctify the people, and the people exist to sanctify the world. You come here, you, the faithful, to be sanctified by the sacraments which you receive, by the word which you hear, which you gnaw on, by the body and blood of Christ, which feeds you and fills you up. But that's not just so that you can have nice feelings and then leave here and start swearing in the parking lot. No, it's so that you can be transformed from the inside out, so that when people meet you, they actually meet Christ. Did you listen carefully to the gospel? At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others. So in the Gospel of Luke so far, this is Luke 10, we've heard a lot about the disciples, the apostles, the chosen, the 12, whatever. But now he uses this other word. He talks to this other group, these others, 72 of them. That's you. Remember that in the Old Testament, the Lord asks Moses to appoint 72 elders, others, to help carry out the task. 72 others. Other doesn't mean unimportant. It doesn't mean sidelined. It just means others to do the work. And what is the work? At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. So the Lord didn't go to these places, teach and preach, and then say, "I'm sending you a follow-up messenger." No, he sent the 72 ahead of him to prepare the way for him, so that when he came, they would have heard of him, they would recognize him, that in some sense the soil would be ready for what the laborers were going to do. When my brother graduated from North Central, he started working at McDonald's corporate. And one of the things that they emphasize, if you work at McDonald's corporate and lots of other places too, is the importance of being a good brand ambassador. That we don't speak ill of our company. We don't, you know, behave in a way that is not consistent with our company's values, especially when we're wearing McDonald's t-shirts and hats and things. And I don't know if they had an employee store in their building, but I feel like he came home with like a lot of merchandise all at once. Because I had a McDonald's drive-through hat, like these Happy Meal t-shirts, I loved it, of course, but then I had to be a good brand ambassador also. And I think that Christians a lot of times are bad brand ambassadors, quite frankly. Do you agree? That sometimes when people meet us, they don't often know that we're passionately in love with Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Son of Mary, who's come to live our life and die our death and rise again as the first fruit of our own resurrection. We don't often behave like we believe that we've been forgiven for our sins and set free from the power of death. That oftentimes people encounter us and they might know we're Catholic, but they see us scowling or being mean or whatever. We have to remember that people are watching, and the proof is in the pudding, as they say. And we have to be people who are transformed by this message, even though it's difficult. So oftentimes we want to get our money back. We want to say like, oh yeah, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to do what you want me to do, but I would rather not do it like that way. You know what I mean? If you've ever been to an ordination mass, you'll know that at the time that he's ordained, the priest, the future priest, lays down on the floor, face first on the floor. Did you know that? And it's a sign of him laying down his life. And in the seminary once, a priest said, you have to be careful about your vision of your ministry. You have to be careful into not thinking that it's really your ministry. Why? Because if you think that way, you will lay down on the floor in this beautiful gesture of giving your life away. And then when you get up, if you think that way, you will spend the rest of your life trying to get it back. And that's what we all do, right? I want to serve you, Lord. I love you, Lord. But let me choose how. Let me choose where. Let me choose to whom. Let me be the one. And the Lord says, but what if I have a different idea for you? What if I have something planned for you that is actually meant for you, that will fulfill you in the long run? Put yourself in the shoes of those 72 others who have been listening to him, following him, getting excited about what he's saying. And then you're getting your stuff together, you're getting your suitcase packed, you're being sent out. Maybe you've been sent to Yorkville, you know what I mean? Maybe you're going down to Salmonok, baby. We're going to preach the gospel. We're getting ready. We got our suitcase going. We got our shoes on. And the Lord says, behold, you're carrying no money sack, no sandals, no suitcase. Don't greet anyone along the way, but go where I send you. Would that make you think twice about being excited? This week, I moved my office out of Peter and Paul and into Chesterton, where I'll be full-time now. And I was shocked at the number of things that I have accumulated in that office in like an 8x8 room over 1 year. But it's necessary for my mission. It's necessary. Really? I have 18 coffee cups. Really? Well, but this one was a gift, and this one is a memory, and this one is this, and this one's collecting dust, and that one's collecting dust. I don't use them. So, as a good priest, what did I do? I didn't think twice, and I put them in a box, and I carried them away. And I'll unpack them, I'm sure, very soon. But we don't need half of the things that we use. We don't need all of this stuff. But we think we do. But those 72 others, they listened to the Lord, didn't they? They listened to what he asked them to do, and they behaved and they obeyed. And what does it say? What's the first line in the retelling of how it went? The 72 others returned rejoicing. Lord, this is what we did. Lord, this is what we saw. Oh my gosh, even the demons are subject to us because of you. Wow. They go out full of tears, carrying seed for the sowing. They come back full of song, carrying their sheaves. Psalm 126. They go out full of tears, carrying seed for the sowing. They come back full of song, carrying their sheaves. So, the harvest is abundant and the laborers are few. And the laborers are us. It's me and you. And we're being asked by the church to take seriously what God is asking us to do. Some of you are married. Some of you think maybe you're settled in your vocation, and that's a beautiful thing. Some of you are wondering what the heck God is doing for you, or in you, or through you. And you have to be patient and wait, and realize that when you don't hear him and when you don't see him, perhaps he's closer to you than ever. We have to remember that even though we're priests or nuns or married people, that the call of God does not end in our life. I thought I was just going to be a full-time theology teacher. And then I thought I would just be the full-time theology teacher plus dean of discipline. But this week, the board at Chesterton appointed me as head of school. So like, what the heck is that about? But I went right to the chapel and I said, Lord, I will do this, but I need you to assure me that you are behind it, that this is from you. And I had the sense that it was. I'm with you, he said. And that is the last point that I want to share with you today. When he sends them out, he sent them in pairs to every town he intended to visit. That some of you no doubt feel alone in your Christian life. Some of you are living in homes where the other people there don't believe what you believe, even though you did your best to teach them. Or when you were married to them, they thought that they believed it, or they pretended to believe it, or whatever. Some of you have been hurt, perhaps, by the church, by people who claim to be holier than thou, etc. But I want to assure you that as we go forward into whatever territory, even if we go like lambs among wolves, you're not alone. You're not alone because the Master who sees you is the Master who knows you and the Master who chooses a task that is for you, and he's the Master who walks with you. Jesus is God's great companionship with the whole human race. So even if you're alone, even if you're lonely, even if you're the only one in your whole town who believes in this, you are still among a pair because he is with you. He is in you. He whispers to you sweet nothings of love to encourage you, to fill you with his life and with his presence so that you may not be afraid as you go. And that in all things, even difficult things, you can come back to him rejoicing. Because not only what has been done for you, but brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, as a priest, I'm shocked like all the time at what the Lord does through me. And I have no idea he's doing it until people come back and say it. And that's something that I need to have lessons in how to be grateful for, because like, you changed my life. What does that even mean? If you knew me, I wouldn't be so life-changing. God is very good. He has a good plan for you. And the prayer is that as you leave today, you would have a sense of joy, having been filled with his presence, that he's appointed you, and he's anointed you, and he walks with you to help you carry it out. Amen? And this is good news indeed.